Can I think while I'm holding a microphone this way? We're delighted to have Alan and Gene Kay as fellow residents. And one of the reasons we're delighted is that they have a delightful daughter who is going to speak to us tonight. And I hope some of you will think of this as sort of a cue. Maybe some of you have delightful daughters who are good speakers, too, and you could suggest that they come and speak for us here. Anyway, we are delighted to have Susan Kay addressing us tonight on empowering our children, our grandchildren, and ourselves, transferring assets successfully. She is a 33-year veteran of the investment industry. In her role as I haven't said something untoward. She is a 33-year veteran of the investment industry. In her role as director for MFS Investment Incorporated, she has developed an expertise in helping families more successfully connect with one another and communicate with one another, not only about financial issues, but life issues. Susan is frequently invited to speak on a variety of topics, ranging from handling the challenges presented by estate planning issues to teaching families about philanthropy and legacy planning, as well as nurturing the development of strong connections between generations. She has lectured at universities, national conferences, public forums, and industry meetings, and is a 13-year member of the National Speakers Association. She lives in San Anselmo with her golden retriever, Quella, and her husband, Kevin, of 33 years. Susan will share interesting and innovative tools that create new connections with family members, clarify your message to your kids and grandkids regarding what you'd like to see them accomplish in their lifetimes, and help create better outcomes in their lives and in your own lives. And I think that's enough out of me.
I'm good. I have this. Thank you. I don't need that. Thank you. All right. There's an off button here somewhere. There we go. I got it. No, you're going to get enough of me. I don't think you need me coming out of two different oratory devices. No, I'm all good. And Pat, you can hear me well enough? Great. You let me know if I get too quiet, which is really hard to imagine. So it is an incredible, incredible privilege for me to be here tonight speaking with you guys about some of the things that I find I'm so passionate about and I'm so interested in. But the privilege is because my folks just recently moved here. They are having nothing but the greatest experience of getting to know and getting to meet every single one of you. So with any luck tonight, you'll leave here both inspired and with deeply meaningful tools. And that'll be my gift back to you for making it such a welcome place for them to be. When I was a kid growing up here in Marin County, my folks loved the outdoors, and they instilled that in both my sister and I. And so we did a lot of hiking, we did a lot of camping, and all of these types of outdoor adventures that we just got passionate about. So when I was in high school, I had a couple of buddies, a couple of pals, and we decided that we actually wanted to be mountain climbers. We didn't just want to camp. We wanted to take it to the next level. So we decided to put together our own training program for what that might look like for a mountain climber. So we would meet 3 days a week in behind the football stadium, and we'd climb up the bleachers. Now think bleachers, they're made out of steel struts that cross like this. So we would climb up the back of the bleachers, practicing what it would be like to kind of climb up arms only a mountain. And then we would go to the side of the gymnasium where they had these 5-inch lipped windows. And we would pull ourselves up into these small crevasses and squeeze our feet into them like this and like this. And that would be our accomplishment, to be able to hold ourselves there without falling out. It was really stupid. But at the time, that's what we were envisioning rock climbing would be like and mountain climbing would be like. And then we got incredibly, superbly lucky because we had a PE teacher transfer into San Rafael High School whose personal passion was mountain climbing. So we went to him, my pals and I, and we said, hey, we're really interested in this. Can we do something about it? And he said, sure, I'll add a PE class on at the end of the day. You kids come. Wow, what an incredible gift to us. Because let me just tell you, having the proper tools and the proper resources makes all the difference in the world. This is a mountain climbing trip my husband and I took about 10 years ago, so relatively recent. The Canadian Rockies. What I learned from having this great teacher was not only having the best tools and the best resources make you better, but having someone who kind of messages in your ear, coaches you just a little bit on how to tweak your performance, makes all the difference in the world in terms of being successful. And let me just define success for you. In mountain climbing, it's purely survival. That's it. And that was the gift that he gave to me. So my goal this evening is to share with you a broad range of tools and resources that I know will inspire you and be deeply meaningful in your lives. I'm going to give you, as I mentioned, a broad section. You pick and choose the ones that you need. You discard and you don't listen to the rest. I'll bring you key resources that I've had put in front of me over the last 30 years of my career that help families have better conversations about money, about finances, and about aging issues. And then with any luck, we'll have a little bit of fun along the way. Does that sound good? All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about three things. One, connecting with your kids. What kinds of tools and resources are available to you that will enhance what you've done? Connecting with our grandkids, what does that look like? And then lastly, connecting with our children regarding the challenges that we face as we continue to age. So I'm going to start with number one, and that is connecting with our kids. And what are the best tools and the best resources that I've seen in my 30 years? In the United States, study after study shows that when assets transfer to the next generation, those assets are gone 70% of the time in 5 years. I'm fairly confident that's not what you're planning. That's not what's going through your mind. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, why is this presenting? Where did we fail in our communication to our kids? So I'm going to give you some phenomenal tools and resources that will help with this, transferring assets more successfully. So the first piece I want to share with you is this book that's on the screen. I brought these resources with me, so you're welcome to come up and touch them and look at them and see if it's what you really want. But this particular one, which is called Beating the Midas Curse, not only does it show that 70% of the time when assets transfer, they're depleted in 5 years, but it also goes on to talk about the fact that 90% of inherited wealth is gone within the first generation. Studies show that most of us say we don't want to manage from the grave. They can do whatever they want with what we've left behind. But they also show statistically that in our secret hearts, we'd really like it to last more than one generation. Like maybe hit a couple of grandkids along the way. So Beating the Midas Curse is one of the great pieces that I've read on how to more successfully transfer the wealth, making sure that your kids understand what it is you think you'd like to see them accomplish. It goes through conversations in here about asset distribution plans, but how do you talk about that, and what do you envision? So that's the first piece that I want to share with you. It's all about conversations and what that looks like. The second tool that I like that's just a little bit different is this piece. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the piece that you have on your chair. And it looks like this. It's striped. So I'll tell you an interesting story about this. I had an opportunity to go to a conference to speak in front of about 1,000 financial advisors a couple of years ago. And while I was there, I'm allowed to go to whatever workshops interest me. There was a gentleman who was speaking from the National Institute on Philanthropic Planning. And he said, the greatest challenges that we Americans face in this area of wealth are three things. Number one, the demand is, can you help me be more successful in messaging to my kids that the money is, in fact, not all about them? Because I'm not sure I've done a really good job of messaging that. Number two, I'm not sure I'm actually paying it forward in a very meaningful way. People come to me, I write checks, I contribute to a lot of charities, so I'm not sure I'm not sure I have a concerted effort going forward. What does that look like? And then lastly, I'm actually not sure if I was to die tomorrow, if my kids actually know what's that one charity I'd actually like to be remembered by. Those are the three challenges that came up in interviewing 20,000 Americans about this subject matter of transferring wealth. So what I did is I got on the phone. I work with all the top wealth managers in the country, and I called them, about 68 of them. And I said, what kinds of tools do you have that help families be more successful in transferring wealth? This piece or something that looked like this came back to me over 20 times. So I recreated it, and I wanted you to have a sample of it. I'm happy to give you more samples. I brought another 50 of them with me. But what I like is it answers all three questions. So the first question was, can you help me be more, or let's start with the third question. I'm not sure my kids know what's that one charity I'd like to be remembered by. Well, look at the far right-hand column, because what it says is legacy wish. So if this is your family's philanthropic plan, you just get to write it down. Pick one. Is it guide dogs? Is it the local high school? Is it the university that you went to? What's deeply meaningful to you? The second challenge, remember, that families said they face is, I'm not sure I'm actually paying it forward in a deeply meaningful way. The exercise of going through this and filling it out will help you do that. It will help you focus where your efforts are. You will look at them all in one place and have the opportunity to go, oh my God, I'm giving to 7 cancer charities. If I want to do something financially deeply meaningful, maybe I ought to narrow that down to the top 2 or 3. But it allows you to just focus your thoughts. And then lastly, the number one concern that American families have is, I'm not sure my kids actually get it, that in fact it's not all about them. That's what's so fabulous about this sheet. Once you sit down and you fill it out and you put your thoughts together, it's your conversation opener with your kids. You can say, listen, I recently went through this interesting experience where I thought about what my philanthropic efforts are, what I want them to look like, and I'd like to share them with you. Now, here's the most important part I will share with you. You want to walk through this with your kids because what you ultimately want to do is tell them for each charity why. Tell them your personal story. Let's say you've got mothers with drunk drivers. You've been giving charitable money to them for years and years and years. Tell them about your best friend when you were 16 years old that got hit by a drunk driver and died. Tell them the stories. Make it real for them. Make it connective. Maybe it's big brothers, big sisters. Why? Tell them the story. Maybe you had a big brother or big sister when you were young and you were growing up, and that impacted your life. It's a phenomenal way for you to manufacture a meaningful conversation with your adult kids about some of the things that are really important to you. And that's what we're talking about, clarity and communication and sharing more about what you think. And do it now. Do it live. Have the conversation. Share your stories. Yep. So those are the first two. The third one that I like in terms of helping you be more successful in transferring your assets, and successful is going to be by your own individual definitions, but is another book that's on this screen. It's called Inspired Philanthropy. It's written by Tracy Gehry. By the way, all these books are written down on the yellow card in front of you. Every single resource tool I wrote down for you. Tracy Gehry lives here in the Bay Area. She wrote this beautiful book. And what I really like about it is it's kind of tactical. I like to think I'm tactical. In other words, it's tool-based. So in here you will find a checklist where you can go through and define what your values are. You just pick the sentences and the phrases that suit your own temperament and your own personality. It has a section in here where the full page is what's your vision for your kids. And it'll give you like 30 different sentences. It helps you with the wordsmithing, helps you with the communication piece. You checkmark those pieces that resonate for you. So that's why I like this. It's very tactical. It gives you the tools that you need to have conversations that you might want to be having with your adult kids. All right. So the two sections in terms of connecting with your kids have to do with transferring your assets more successfully And then the second one, the second piece of this, is communicating with your adult children what you actually envision as you yourself age. So let me tell you a quick story to help you kind of put your head in this mode. George and Helen have been living together for over 35, 40 years. George is very frustrated with Helen because Helen just doesn't hear him anymore. He talks, she doesn't hear him. So he picks up the phone and he calls Helen's doctor and he says, "You need to call her in. She's losing her hearing." Doctor says, "Gosh, you know, she was just here last month. I tested her hearing. She's fine." George says, "No, I'm telling you, she's not." Doctor says, "Okay, George, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do an old-fashioned science experiment from fifth grade. I want you to make a graph, 30 days. And I want you to start by standing about 20 feet behind Helen. And when she's not looking, ask her a question. And then over that 30 days, let's see how close to her you have to get. Let's see if there's actually a decline." George says, "Awesome, I could do this. I get this. I can make a graph." So he's made his graph. That night, Helen's in the kitchen and she's making dinner. George backs out of the kitchen, backs around the dining table, all the way to the back wall of the living room. About 20 feet. "Hey, Helen, what are you making for dinner?" Nothing. Okay. 15 feet. "Hey, babe, what's for supper?" Nothing. He's very frustrated now because he told the doctor she didn't hear him. So now he's 10 feet behind her and he says, "Helen, what are you making for dinner this evening?" Because as you all know, slower is akin to louder. He gets nothing back, so now he's just irritated beyond belief. He wants to call the doctor and interrupt him at home having his own dinner. But he walks up to the 5-foot mark, and he says, "Babe, what are you making for dinner tonight?" And she whips around, and she says, for the fourth time, lasagna. Aging with any semblance of dignity, we all know, is a challenge. So the question becomes, how do we enhance our communication skills? And what does that look like? Well, again, there's a couple of pieces that I want to highlight for you that I think are phenomenal in helping us communicate with our adult children about the things that are important to us. So I want to share with you a workbook. It's called The Family Love Letter. I brought three or four of them with me. As I said, you can page through them. But The Family Love Letter, there's probably two ideas that I will share with you tonight. This is one of my favorites. The Family Love Letter is a workbook that allows you to put every single thing that's important in your life in one place. All in one place. So I'll give you an example. So in the beginning of the book, it asks you the most basic questions. It's not rocket science. You know, who's your accountant? Who's your attorney? Who's your financial advisor? Who's your banker? Those kinds of simple questions. But then what it does, which I think is so extraordinary, is it asks you questions that will catch you by surprise. As an example, there's a whole section down here on frequent flyer miles. Frequent flyer miles are inheritable. You just have to tell where you want them to go. It doesn't have to be in a will. It can be in the workbook. It's not a legal issue. So where do you want your frequent flyer miles to go? Maybe you've got a grandchild who's back at Harvard, and it's tough to get them back and forth. And maybe that might be helpful later on in life. Another section that I like is maybe you've made a loan to a sibling, and you didn't happen to mention it to your spouse. Might be a good place to write it down. Right? So it's captured. Conversely, maybe you took a loan out from a sibling. Even more important, because if you're not there and the sibling goes after your spouse, wow, that's going to be not nice. Other things, medical assets. There's a whole section in here on medical assets if you want to make sure that you document that you've left something like that behind. Military benefits. I tell you, when my father-in-law passed away, we all knew that he'd been in the Army, but it didn't. There was no connection for us because it was so much later. Military benefits. We found out about 3 months after he passed away that there were benefits for my mother-in-law. So why not help a family member avoid going through not knowing by simply writing it down what they need to know? Other things, I have other favorite pieces. I want to find this one page. This is my favorite page, and I know you can't see it. I'll just hold it up because it makes me feel good. All right, so there's one page that lists all the top 30 most important documents you want to have. My guess is most of you have 25 out of 30 of them. What I like about this page is it's simply you tell your children where they are. Where they are. Are they at the attorney's office? Are they at the insurance broker's office? Are they in the safety deposit box? Are they in the safe in the house? Where are these documents kept? Probably the most important and helpful page in the book. And then lastly, at the end of the book, it talks about your ethical will. Ethical will is about messaging. And it gives you 20 different questions. You answer the ones you want. My favorite one is here, and that is, it is my hope that my family will use its inheritance from me to accomplish the following goals and dreams in their lives. Simple. I want Candace to be able to continue dancing until she can't dance any longer. I want Sawyer to be able to be in his rock and roll band for forever. I want Jimmy to be able to have the three horses that he has now and not worry about having to lose those horses. Whatever you would love to see your kids and your grandkids accomplish in their lifetime, it gives you a place to write them down. So that is by far and away my favorite piece. I will give you a quick heads up on this, though. It takes a while to complete the workbook. So don't feel bad if it takes you about 30 days to kind of collect the information and put it in one place. You won't be the first one to struggle with that. All right. We're talking about tools that help you communicate what you envision as you continue to age. There's another wonderful workbook. It's called the Conversation Starter Kit. I think that most of the time we don't know where to start the conversation with our adult kids. So we just avoid it and we don't have it because it's uncomfortable. What I love about this particular workbook, again, is it's tactical. It gives you leading sentences that you can use with your own families. Again, you just pick the ones that suit your personality. I like this one. I was thinking about what happened to Aunt Frances when she passed away, and it made me realize it opens up the door for the conversation. So there's all kinds of just leading sentences that help you get to where you want to be and whatever it is you think you want to convey. It's called the Conversation Starter Kit. I think it's just incredibly helpful at creating deeply meaningful conversations. All right. Anybody in this room read this wonderful book called Being Mortal? Yes, I had the same reaction. It's phenomenal, isn't it? This was written by Atul Gawande, who's a professor at Harvard. He's a physician at Brigham Women's Hospital in Boston. He writes for The New Yorker, so his writing is mellifluous. It's just incredible. But this is a deeply moving book about the modern realities of mortality. And really what it does is it talks about the fact that because modern medicine has changed so much, it has changed the process of both living and dying by providing options. And so what the book talks about is, again, how do you then have those conversations with your kids? What are your definitions of what's a good life? Because it's not about having a good death. It's about having a good life. And what do those conversations look like? How do you describe it to your family members? For those of you who've read it, you'll remember this. There's a passage in the last chapter of the book where they ask this gentleman, I believe it's the father of the author, who's sick. And he says to his son, here's the deal. I want to be able to watch football sitting upright, and I want to be able to eat chocolate ice cream. When those two things aren't happening, you can start to let me go. He had what his definitions of a meaningful life were. So again, just great background, great reference tool for each and every one of you. Now, what works really well in tandem with this book is a very small workbook that's called The Five Wishes. The Five Wishes. And it's about, again, communicating and knowing what the right words are. So in here, there's a page with 50 different sentences. How comfortable I want to be. What's your definition of that? And it allows you to read other people's words and pick what you go, oh, yeah, that's it, right? My wish for how I want people to treat me gives you about a dozen choices of how you would convey that to someone. This is how I want to be treated. This is how I don't want to be treated. So again, I love these key resources and tools because they help us be better communicators at the stuff that's really, really significant in our lives and important. So a couple of tools on helping you communicate what you envision as you continue to age. All right. What we've ultimately done is talk about connecting with our adult children. I'd love to shift gears for just a minute and talk about how do we connect with our grandkids and what does that look like. So my husband and I, we have 4 nieces and nephews. And when they were all littler, they live in Los Angeles. They would come up and stay with my husband and I 2 weeks a year. So we'd get them for the week of 4th of July, and then we'd get them for the week of Thanksgiving, as my parents will remember, because I used to bring them over to their house so I could have a break. But anyway, we had this one weekend or week when they were with us. My husband, in the first 15 years of his career, was a psychologist, and he dealt with families and children. That was his niche, was families and children, the networking. So one day, he's working in the cottage, and my niece, who's about 6 years old at the time, her name is Candace, she goes running out to the cottage, and she says, Uncle Kevin, listen, I need to know, what's couples sex? Couples sex. So, you know, my husband being in the business understands that you don't dodge the questions, understands that he doesn't want to reveal everything because he's not the parent. So he says, I'm going to answer this at the 30,000-foot level. I'm going to be honest, but I'm going to talk about it up here. So he talks about the responsibilities of loving someone, the responsibilities of intimacy, the joys of having deep friendships and commitments with others. Well, so Candace is looking at him with her head tilted like a golden retriever who's confused, right? And her mouth's wide open and her eyes are as big as saucers. So Kevin decides he's going to slow down just a little bit. And he says, so Candace, honey, why did you ask me that question? And she said, because Aunt Sue said dinner's ready in a couple secs. So let's talk about connecting with our grandkids in a more safe environment than that conversation. If you'd like to see your grandkids be successful in handling money and understanding the differences between spending, saving, investing, and charitable giving, then what I'd love you to do is consider the following resources that I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to go through them in order of age. So I'm going to start really young. There's an amazing website out there. It's on your note card, and it's called moneysavvygeneration.com. The actual web is MSGEN, but that's what it stands for. moneysavvygeneration.com. And what I love about this particular website, if you share it with your adult children or you want to use it yourselves with your grandkids, is the website is broken by tabs into age groups. So you can go to the age group 6 through 10. Everything that pops up there will be things that are appropriate for a 6 through 10-year-old. So as an example, piggy banks that are pre-divided into spending, saving, investing, and donations. It's pre-divided, big, beautiful pink or blue piggy bank. That's the first foray for these kids to understand there's differences in money. I like also in that section they have coloring books with money and money issues and those kinds of things. So very, very tangible for really young kids. If you go to the next tab, it's 11-year-olds through 15-year-olds. How many of you in this room remember having a savings passbook, your first bank savings passbook? Right. What they've put together for that age group is what looks like an old-fashioned savings passbook. So that if you're going to give your kids or your grandkids an allowance, you can start right at the get-go for having them start to take notes. They'll write what they got for allowance, and then you teach them every time you take a dollar out or $5 out, whatever it is, you write it down. And they start to learn the flow of money. My personal favorite tab, however, is on the far right. It's for college students. I laugh every time I think about this. How many of you in this room have sent kids to college? Okay. I found one of the greatest challenges deciding how much pizza and beer money to give them, right? They're going off to college. I paid for everything I need to possibly pay for, but they need, like, pocket change. I don't know what it should be. They have a fabulous college workbook. It's not a workbook. It's a budget book that you can send these kids off to college with. So if you've got grandkids who are in college, going off to college, you get the workbook, give it to them and say, look, you're getting whatever your parents are giving you, $150 a month for pizza and beer, which, of course, they're all too young for, but whatever. And they can start to keep track of where their dollars go, what they're spending on toothpaste, what they're spending on frozen yogurt, what they're spending on whatever, concert tickets. And again, the greatest gift that you can give these grandkids is the ability to understand what a budget is before they get out of college, right? Before they get their first job. All right, so I love that website. Let's talk about the giving family, raising our children to help others. One of my all-time favorite books, The Giving Family. The reason I like this, again, is because it actually gives phenomenal ideas on how to teach children that you are, in fact, your brother's keeper. Again, the book is divided into three parts. The first part is for young kids. All right? Young kids only have the capacity for certain things. So they can do a penny drive, or they can do a book drive. These kinds of things they're capable of doing with you or with their parents in a neighborhood, either way, knocking on doors. I'm raising money for other children in some foreign country. We're doing a penny drive. We're doing a book drive. The next section is for kids who have greater capacity, kids who can actually work at a soup kitchen for a couple of hours, kids who can work at Special Olympics and make peanut butter and sandwiches or be a lane monitor. It gives all those kinds of ideas. And then it has a whole section in the last part of the book, which is for 35-year-olds through 55-year-olds. And what kinds of conversations can you engage in with this age group? And what does that look like, and what's the messaging? So again, very tactical, lots of ideas, one of my favorite pieces. All right, next, in terms of age, I'm getting older as I go. This next one is called The Official Guide for Teenagers, The Official Money Guide for Teenagers. It's written in cartoon format, so it's super easy to read for a teenager, but it defines what is saving, what's a savings account, what's investing, the difference between a stock and a bond, what is debt, how do you prioritize sneakers versus concert tickets versus a parking ticket. You know, it has all of these types of conversations, but it's written at the level for a teenager to be able to read and to be able to absorb. So I like that piece. All right, two more. Penny Youngman said it best when he said, I've got all the money I could possibly need in the world. Penny Youngman, I've got all the money I could possibly need in the whole world, as long as I die by 4 o'clock this afternoon. So let's get ahead of that. Let's get ahead of that. If you've got grandkids who are graduating from college, the best book I've read is called First Job, First Paycheck. First Job, First Paycheck. And as you might imagine, it covers all the things that graduates are completely ill-prepared for. First, the fact that they're going to have 30% of their income disappear right out of the gate. They're going to have to understand budgeting, what is rent, what is rent insurance, all the little things that they have no idea are coming their way. It's a great tool for them and for their parents. All right, so here's what we've done. Two things. We've talked about connecting with your kids and having conversations that help transfer wealth more successfully. I've given you 5 resource tools for different age sets within the grandchildren range, right? And lastly, I want to share with you some of my favorite resources in terms of connecting with your own children regarding the challenges that we all face as we continue to age. I'd love to tell you one more quick story about George and Helen because they're my favorite couple. George has just had some blood work done, and the doctor's office calls him and says, hey, we need you to actually come in and sit down and talk with the doctor. He says, sure, no problem. He says, could you bring Helen with you? Makes him a little suspicious, right? Okay, fine. So Helen and George, they drive to the doctor's office. They come in, they sit down in the waiting room. Doctor comes out and says, George, if it's all right with you, I'd like to just talk to Helen for a minute. Like, okay. So Helen follows the doctor into the doctor's office. She sits down and she says, what's up? And he says, Helen, I don't know how to tell you this, but George, he ain't going to make it. Unless you make some very serious changes in your world. Well, she said, like what? He says, number one, he needs to eat 3 square meals a day. No more Hostess cupcakes, no more Cheetos orange on his pants and his hands, no more crap. She says, oh, I can do this. And she reaches into her purse and she pulls out a notepad and she starts to write. Okay, balanced meals 3 times a day, got it. What's next? He says, well, we need to reduce the stress in George's life, both at home and at the office. So if he's got a buddy or a pal in the office, I need you to reach out and talk to him and understand how serious this is, that we do reduce the stress in George's life. She says, I got that. And she writes it down. What else? He says, well, the last thing I would tell you, I need you to make love to George every single day. She's thinking about that. She gets up, she goes outside, she says to George, come on, let's go. They go, they get in the car, he starts the motor, he's got his hands on the wheel, he turns to her and he says, what did the doctor say? She said, George, honey, you ain't going to make it. Some of the challenges of aging are addressed by virtue of the fact that you live here at Villa Marin. However, I'd like to share 4 tools with you that will broaden your knowledge in terms of what's out there. I'm going to share tools that will help others help you in emergency situations. I'm going to go from high tech to low tech. So the first one I want to share with you is crucially important. I'll tell you a quick story. When we moved into my neighborhood a couple of years ago, there was a gentleman who lived next door to us. His name was Cleon McNichol, lovely man, in his late 80s, living all on his own by himself. And we became very good friends. And one day he said to me, I'd like you to be the executor of my estate. I don't have kids. I need somebody to wrap this up. I said, I'd be happy and honored to do that for you. So we got a power of attorney. We got a health care directive. We got all the stuff set in place. So I'm traveling for work, and I happen to be not far. I'm in Stockton, California, and I get a call in the middle of the day from Marin General Hospital, and they say, we've got Cleon McNichol here. He told us that you're essentially his guardian. He was out with his hiking group today, and he slipped and he fell down about a 10-foot ravine, and he's broken a number of bones, and we need somebody to come in and speak on his behalf. And he named you. I said, yeah, that's fine. It's a 2-hour drive. I'll be there in an hour and a half. And I got in the car. I broke every speeding law known to mankind. And I show up in Marin General Hospital. I find the doctor and I say, I'm Susan Kay. Where's Cleon? They said, well, we had to sedate him because he was in a little bit of pain. So we actually need to ask you a couple of questions. I said, sure. He says, do you have authority to make decisions on behalf of Cleon? I said, yes. He says, do you have a healthcare directive on Cleon? I said, yes. He said, can I see it? Well, I was in Stockton, right? And I drove there. I know I don't have that on me. That will never happen to me again, and it will never happen to you in any kind of circumstance like that. I'm going to teach you a high-tech solution that you're going to want to share with whoever your healthcare directives are held by. I'm going to say your adult children, but it could be an aunt, it could be a sister, it could be a cousin, a niece, anybody. There's an app, and it's called Evernote, and it's on your yellow cards. It looks like this. You're welcome to look at it on my phone if you want to. Evernote. And what you do is very simple. You get it. It's free. You upload it to your laptop, and then you connect it by virtue of answering some questions. It'll show up 24 hours later on your phone. So imagine if I got that call on Cleon now. I could literally show up at the hospital and say, yes, I have the healthcare directive. What's your email address? Boop, 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 boom. I just sent it to the office that's 2 doors down. Let's have a conversation. Share information with me about Cleon. Because, you know, otherwise they won't. They won't tell you anything. They won't allow you to make decisions for that person that you love so much. So as a quick example, I have the healthcare directives for my dad and for my mom on my phone. So if I'm in New York speaking at a conference and I get a phone call from Marin General Hospital, they can actually talk to me, not because I'm their daughter, but because I have the healthcare directive and I can email it in that moment, in that emergency moment, in that time of crisis. It comes straight across and we have a conversation. It's one of the most, I told you there's my two favorite ideas. One was the family love letter. This is the other. So talk to who, I'm going to say your adult children, but whoever it is that has that authority and that power. The only other thing I would tell you, when you upload these documents to Evernote, I would also upload a list of the medications that you take, because that was the second question I got asked. What are the medications he's on? And I kind of went, well, I'm a loser. I have absolutely no idea. So those are the two most important pieces. And those pieces of information, let me just reassure you, Ryan, you're not at risk. It's not your trust. It's not your passcodes to everything in your world and your life. It's a healthcare directive. You're not giving away any secrets and you're not giving away power. So you don't have to worry about that stuff in terms of it being on technology. All right. Oh, I'm an idiot. I left him at home. Oh, okay. I forgot I have these things at home, but they're on the screen. A couple of other key pieces, and then I'll close and take questions. Another thing, should you show up at a hospital in need, the first thing they do is they empty your pockets of all your valuables. They log them before they seal them in a secure bag. Imagine if you had a key on your keychain that looked like this. This has an electronic thumb drive attached to the end. So you can shove this or have someone shove this in a computer. They can put the list of medications that you take. They can put the name and number of the adult children, the people who take care of you, the names of your physicians and your doctors. Again, nothing that puts you at risk. But a nurse who's unloading this into the secure bag will see this key, will shove it in a machine, and everything that you need to be taken care of will show up on the screen. I love that. They're about $3.95 on Amazon. I would suggest to you that you spend the extra $1.50 to have it engraved on the sign that says emergency so that people connect what it is. The other piece that I like is right here, File of Life. Typically, you can get these. It's a magnet. Typically, you can get them from the fire department. Here's what happens when the fire department gets called. So let's say you slipped and you fall. And again, I recognize that you live in this marvelously safer environment. But just to give you an important story, you slip and you fall. The fire department comes through the front door. Their first responsibility is the person who's down. Their second responsibility is to go to the refrigerator. And I'm not kidding. I know how goofy that sounds. Paramedics, down person, refrigerator, because they're trained that emergency contact information is on the refrigerator. I like File of Life because it's got a pocket. It's a see-through pocket. So you can put all of your emergency contact information on there, all of your kids, siblings, doctors, whoever you want to be on there. You can put your list of medications on there. These are tools that help people help you in a much more meaningful way than not having the tools. So even here at Villa Marin, someone might come in to help you. And if you've got something on the refrigerator that reflects your contact information, it's quicker and faster and helpful. And then the last piece I'll share with you is right here. I had, if my parents haven't bored you to tears yet, I was a swimmer when I was growing up. And I was a good swimmer and a fast swimmer, and I had a coach that was a phenomenal mentor to me while I was growing up. Later in life, he decided he wanted to ride his bike, so he was constantly riding his bike over to my house. So let me draw a picture for you. I had a house originally in San Anselmo, small little teeny tiny 1,200-foot cottage that sat on the street, but my driveway went down the side of the house all the way into the backyard, deep, where I have a cottage. My dad did a great thing for me in building this cottage. He put a big picture window in the front so I could sit and work, and I could see anybody who was heading down the driveway. And frankly, most often it was simply the FedEx man who, you know, I was like this with the FedEx man. He was my best friend. So I'm sitting at my desk one day, and I see my coach walking down the driveway, and he's got his bike. And I'm like, oh, yay, I love days like this. Except suddenly I realize he's walking down the driveway, and he's got his bike in one hand and the front tire in the other, and the front tire is scratched over like this, like a fortune cookie. So I get that golden retriever head tilt thing going again. I'm like, what is wrong with this picture? And all of a sudden I can see that he's bleeding from his head, he's bleeding from his shoulder, and he's bleeding all the way down his leg. So I'm up and I'm out of my chair, and I'm running as fast as I can to get to him. This beautiful man, strong man, both physically and emotionally, lets go and hits the ground. And I get to him and I say, what happened before I go call 911? He says, I was hit by a car and they chose not to stop. They chose not to stop. And at the time I was way out in that Fairfax area where there's not a lot of traffic. There wasn't a lot of traffic. So I went on to figure out how to solve for something like that. And there's a wonderful tool that's available to all of you, whether you're out there doing active activities like riding your bikes, or maybe you're traveling, or maybe you're simply going with the group down to Filoli Gardens. It's either a bracelet with a dog tag on it or a dog tag that can clip to your waist belt. They come in every color known to mankind. And it's called Road, R-O-A-D, Road ID. Yes, someone has heard of it. Oh, you've got it. Road ID. And for $18, again, you can put your name on it. In my family, we would put my name and my sister's phone number, my name, my phone number, my sister's name, my sister's phone number, and maybe that of my husband or the doctor's office. Road ID, it's online, and that's the actual web address, roadid.com. So I like that because, again, if you're vacationing, if you're doing a field trip, any particular reason you want just a little bit more capability and making sure you get well cared for, I like Road ID. All right. Let me close with a couple of thoughts, and then I'll take any questions you may have. What we've accomplished this evening are a couple of things. One, we've looked at new ways to create connections with our families. That's fair to say, yes? We've provided tools that'll help you clarify your thoughts and your messaging to your family on what you envision for yourself and what you envision for them. And then lastly, helped you create better outcomes in the lives of your kids, in the lives of your grandkids, and in your own lives. And I want to close with this one story, and then I'll take questions. How am I doing? Okay. A husband and a wife. They've been married for quite some time. It's their 40th wedding anniversary. They've decided they're going to take a vacation and a trip. Since it's February and it's Minnesota, they decide they're going to go back to where they had their honeymoon, which was in Florida. Very excited, plan the trip. Wednesday through Sunday, life is good. Tuesday morning, her boss comes in and says to her, I know you've got this anniversary trip that's coming up, but I got to tell you, I have got to get this project out before Wednesday at noon. You've got to stay. I can't do it without you. So she calls her husband. She kind of explains it. He says, babe, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. You come down Wednesday night. I'll go down Tuesday night as planned. It's okay. So he gets down there Tuesday night, and he checks into this boutique kind of bungalow hotel place. And not only do they have internet access, but each room has a little teeny tiny laptop. So he's very excited. He sits down at the laptop and he types this message to his wife. Boom, off it goes. He was a little too excited because it didn't go boom over here. It went boom over here. And over here is this absolutely lovely widow. She's just lost her husband. She's coming in the front door from the funeral. She goes upstairs to the computer because people have been sending the most lovely messages to her, and she wants to get some of that mojo before everybody comes over to the house. So she opens up this email, right? And she passes out cold and hits the floor. Her son, who's downstairs, hears her hit the floor, comes running up. Mom, 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 what's up, what's up, what's up? She just faintly points at the computer screen. And he sits down, and this is what he reads. To my loving wife, I've just arrived. I know that you're surprised to hear from me, but they have computers here now. And you can send emails to your loved ones. Everything, by the way, is prepared for your arrival tomorrow. I hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S., it sure is hot down here. Here's what I can tell you to be true. Small change, right? One letter typo. Small change, big difference in outcome. It's the same for every single one of you in this room. Pick one idea that you heard tonight and change your outcomes. I think you'll be well served. You guys have been awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you. I have all of these books and tools if you want to look at them, and I'm also happy to take any questions from any of you. Whether I can answer them or not is a different story, but I'm happy to try. It's a quiet bunch. Sure. No problem. So the question is, if you have children and grandchildren of different, let's just say, motivations, one spends money at one rate, one's good at X, one's not so good at Y, how do you communicate and how do you make decisions about how you might want to actually treat them differently financially? And I would tell you that it's actually pretty straightforward and simple. You want to sit down with an estate attorney, and you can document any way you want money to be distributed or to be handled. So I'll just make up a scenario. Three kids. First kid's very motivated, has a great job, raising good kids. You really want to reward them for their efforts. You want the grandkids to be able to go to college and not have them worry. So in the trust, you simply say, when I die, I want that family, however you want, I'm making this up. I want that family to have $100,000 in cash. My second son is pretty much a deadbeat, don't really appreciate their lifestyle. If I gave them money, they'd spend the $100,000 in the first year, wouldn't last very long. But I don't want to give them nothing. What can I do? You talk with the estate attorney, and you can set up the ability to distribute those funds, if you want to do things equally, over either time. So you could say, I want to give them $5,000 a year for the next, what's the math on that, 20 years? Or based on accomplishing certain things. They finish college. They get a job. They decide to volunteer their time for a nonprofit that they're passionate about. You can set up, this is my point. When you sit with a state attorney, you can set up any parameters you want for distributing wealth to your kids, and it can be different for every kid and every grandkid. Sure. The question is, can you set up personal net worth as a parameter by which you give a certain amount to each kid? And the answer is simply is yes. Absolutely. What else can I do for you other than cut you loose? Frank, is there anything else? Oh, I can just stay and answer your questions. Thank you.